I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host for 2 hours a day here. We offer a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. This is Tuesday. Next hour, we'll get into a little bit of Tech Tuesday news. I'm trying to reframe my thinking. One of the guys at the station here is always trying to implore me to go watch Libs of TikTok. And I know there's some funny, crazy stuff out there. I cannot do it. I ran across a video like right before I came on air. I didn't even really mean to click on it. And it's a video of some inner city school, I guess, and one of the girls getting up out of the class and getting into the teacher's face. It just turns into a huge brawl, and I can't even watch these things anymore. I've gotten to a place in my life where if I'm watching a football game and you see a player go down, he's holding his leg or holding his knee or something, and they start doing the slow motion replay that'll show this injury, a hyperextension or whatever it is. I can't look at these things anymore. I can't look at those for the physical pain. I cannot look at these things, the way people are acting out in society right now, for a mental issue. I mean, I can't mentally wrap my mind around the way some people are behaving in society right now. We are so far down, several generations of just dumbed down Americans. Idiocracy is one thing, but idiocracy appeared to be fairly peaceful transition into utter stupidity. Now we seem to be lashing out. It seems like a violent lurch to stupidity. I've got to get into some other stuff today because this is just one of those things where I'm sitting in the office by myself and I just say, oh my God. What the hell is happening? And just as somebody who's raised children, I cannot imagine having a child act out in the way I see people. And this includes the videos of people just walking into grocery stores or convenience stores and just trashing the place, walking into stores and just stealing a bunch of stuff. And to think that, I mean, somebody raised them. I guess raising a child is a fairly loose term when you see these kinds of people and the way they're behaving. But I got to change my headspace because that is, I can be accused of some doom and gloom stuff. And we're going to get into some financial news here to see how things are going. But, these are things that, at least in a sane world, we can all navigate these things. We'll survive. It's not the end of times when it comes to these things. But this is the decay of a dying empire. It is, and it's okay. We've built an empire. Empires are not good. They're not good for their own people. Empires are good for the people at the top. Always have been, always will be. We've not benefited from our military empire. Now, we may have benefited a little bit, you and I, for our quality of life with the king dollar around the world, the fact that we had the world's reserve currency, but not to the extent that the upper classes have benefited from it. But it's a dying empire right now is exactly what it is. And I would imagine throughout history you'd see similar things. I just don't know. They've been this just abjectly stupid. The number of people in this country who have completely abdicated parenting is pretty horrific, I will say. My belief always was when I was raising my children, I don't know what they'll end up doing. They're 21 years old. Hopefully they're successful. My biggest wish for them is that they find something to do with their life that makes them happy. I don't care what kind of riches they get. I don't care what kind of status they get. I hope they have a happy life. But I knew my number one job was to put out a good human being. Somebody that you would want to interact with, somebody that makes a positive impact on other people's lives, and the rest will just fall where it falls. But that does not seem to be, in many corners of our country, the prevailing thought on parenting. Yesterday, I spent the second hour responding to Alex Jones and Steven Crowder. I played a segment from them where they are disavowing libertarianism. It seemed odd to me. I won't rehash it. You can go check out the podcast. Just find The Mike Madison Show somewhere on a podcasting platform, and you can listen to it yourself. I'm coming into the station today. I was listening to Dave Smith, a libertarian comedian. He's got a segment where Ben Shapiro has a guest on, where they are also making some really kind of weird, silly arguments against libertarianism. And I've got to tell you, I may just be a paranoid conspiracy theorist, but as libertarianism has been discovered by more people, particularly in light of the COVID tyranny, and this was outside of the Libertarian Party, which was terrible during 2020 and 2021, really just horrible. If you ever want to see a party that's about freedom succeed, you would think that 2020 would be the year they could really get out there and differentiate themselves as Republicans and Democrats locked down societies, made all these useless regulations against businesses. You would think a Libertarian Party, that would be their moment to shine. Not that Libertarian Party. They went all woke. But a lot of people have kind of discovered a libertarianism in a response to understanding that you've got a government that's too powerful. And we certainly saw that in spades during COVID. But it seems to me between Alex Jones, Steven Crowder, and now Ben Shapiro, who I believe tweeted out this segment of a longer show, I can't remember the guy he was interviewing, where they are going on and on about how libertarianism really doesn't have any answers, this kind of thing. It seems odd that some of the thought leaders of the conservative slash GOP media are they coordinating this attack? Could it possibly be that the GOP sees a threat to their power and has put out the word, maybe with a few dollars behind it? I don't know. It just seems odd. You would think that Republicans would embrace people who are about freedom, but you have to understand Republicans don't want you to have freedom. Republicans don't want sound money. They don't want fiscal restraints on the government. They want the power. As I've said, elections are just basically like a fight scene in a movie where there's a loaded weapon that hits the ground, and it's the struggle to be able to have that weapon. So, but I got to tell you, if conservative thought leaders, if conservative media stars are now campaigning for status quo, oh, they want to nibble around the edges a little bit. There's a couple of things they'd change here or there. But you know, as Alex Jones said, our two-party system is the best thing that we can do. I think if that's what's leading the conservative media, conservative movement now, we're done. We are done. Our one last hope might be the financial crisis that once again decimates the middle class and even the upper middle class this time. If people think that voting a little harder to fix what's coming without dramatic changes, if they think that's the prescription, we're done. I'll just find an island somewhere to watch it burn. Good luck with that. I'll tell you what, I'll take a quick break. We're going to take a look at some economic news. And then, boy, oh boy, there is a red flag alert out on these shots. I did the story yesterday of the woman who was recounting the story of her very healthy, very happy, very energetic grandmother who went to go get her booster, and 15 minutes later she was dead. I've got a clip today about these shots. It is unbelievable, and this is a news story, not a tweet, not a Facebook post. It's a news story about one of the consequences of these shots. And this one is a biggie. We'll get to that in just a little bit. This is The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, people like me... I do have a tribe, I guess I would say. It's not a It's not a tight tribe. It's not a, these aren't people that I know, but I, there's a group of people out there that have been kind of, you know, warning about what's happening right now, particularly when it comes to things like inflation. I think I've been talking about that inflation was going to come since the day I came on air 5.5 years ago. And I didn't know who would be president then. I just knew that the policies of the federal government and the Federal Reserve were going to create inflation at some point. We were already seeing it in the stock market, in rare art, in classic cars, in Bitcoin. We saw these things coming, but nobody pays attention because it's not hitting their pocketbooks yet. So we don't ever stop anything in its tracks before the consequence comes. We wait till the consequence comes, and then the two political parties get us to blame different people. Wrongly, all the time, but there are people. So I've got a quote here from Brandon Smith. He's one of my tribe, one of these people that's been writing about, you know, what we're seeing right now and the financial crisis that is to come for years and years. There's always a knock on people like us. Well, yeah, eventually you'll be right, but the timing is always terrible. So it is a bit of, feels very Chicken Little-ish for years and years. Then the inflation comes. I don't think I'm going to get any credit for saying, you know, I don't know, there's people out there going, yeah, you know, Mike Madison was talking about the fact that what was going on was going to be inflationary. He was saying that back in 2017 when he first came on air. Nobody's saying that. Now everybody just believes it's Bidenflation. Anyway, Brandon Smith wrote this: a common refrain from people who are critical of alternative economists is that we have been predicting crisis for so long that, quote, eventually we will be right, unquote. These are generally people who don't understand the nature of economic decline. It's like an avalanche that builds over time, then breaks and quickly escalates as it flows down the mountain. What they don't grasp is that they're in the middle of an economic collapse right now. And they just can't see it because they have been acclimated to the presence of the snow and the cold. Economic decline is a process that takes many years, and while you might get an event like the market crash of 1929 or the crash of 2008, these moments of panic are nothing more than the wreckage left behind by the great wave of tumbling ice that everyone should have seen coming far in advance, but they refused to see it. And I will add to that, usually they refuse to see it because their guy's in charge at the time, so they think everything is going fine. There's a concept when you print up a bunch of money, when you put interest rates at zero, or keep interest rates artificially low, there's a concept called malinvestment. This is something that libertarians understand and actually talk a lot about. I don't know if people have heard this term before, but what it basically means is that when you create this atmosphere of free money, people will look at free money and think, what can I buy? They don't have to weigh as much of the risk-reward ratio because there's really pretty limited size downside. You know, if you make an investment, if you have to actually expend money, carrying cost, interest, on borrowing money, then you've got to make a decision. Am I going to make enough money off of this over a period of time to pay back all of the interest and still see a return? But if you've got basically 0% interest, companies will just take this money and start going out looking for things to buy. They will do things that they would not normally do in a free market. And in a free market, the Federal Reserve doesn't set interest rates. They don't manipulate interest rates by printing up money and buying bonds to suppress interest rates. In a free market, money has a price, and that price is the interest that you pay on it. And so you have to actually make calculated decisions because there is a downside. There is a cost to borrowing that money and speculating on something. And so what we've seen is a bunch of malinvestment for really the last 14 years, and this is just a huge story about that. A while ago, it was last November, Zillow suddenly, you know, this is the real estate company there, they started laying off a bunch of their people. Well, how's it going in the housing market right now? And understand this concept of malinvestment, which is they've flooded all of this basically free money. I mean, it's not free. You have to pay the money back, but you get to just hold on to it and use it for whatever you want with no expense. Like 0.25%, something like that. According to Bloomberg, recent startup darling Opendoor which it describes as, quote, a pioneer of data-driven spin on home flipping known as iBuying. And this is a robo-flipper which has been optimized not for profit but for volume selling thousands of homes in a typical month. And if you're familiar with the iBuyer now, if you have been trying to buy a house in the last couple of years, you have been competing against these companies that had all this 0% interest money sloshing around. They were just looking for something to do with it. You were competing against companies like this Open Door, where essentially they had algorithms that could look at a listing and just start bidding on these properties because they had all this cash sloshing around. Well, we've got to put it somewhere. We'll just buy it in houses. We'll flip these homes. There's really very little due diligence on these things because they set up this model. They had all this cash. They said, we'll just start buying them up. And on the volume, the law of averages, we're going to make a killing. This has ended up costing the American people a great deal of money because they've been bidding up houses that average everyday families have wanted to buy. You've had to compete with Wall Street firms to buy homes. This is one of the phenomenons that has led to this big run-up in real estate. The actual value of a roof over your head hasn't changed. Homes that were built in the 1980s or 1970s have not materially changed, yet the price just kept going up. Well, that was the entrance of all this free money into the market. How's it going now? Right now, Open Door is saying that it's lost money on 42% of its transactions in August, according to research from Yipit Data. Open Door's performance, as measured by the prices at which it bought and sold properties, was even worse in key markets such as Los Angeles, where the company lost money on 55% of sales. And in Phoenix, Arizona, this company that's just had all this cash, this is the concept of malinvestment. They would never have done a bunch of iBuying, which is basically sight unseen, buying properties off of listings, bidding up the price, just assuming that they can probably make some money flipping these houses. And never would have done that had they not had no interest carrying cost on any of these things. In Phoenix, Arizona, they've lost money on 76% of their real estate deals. Who would have thunk it? Buying a house based on an algorithm, sight unseen, that there's a possibility you might lose some money. Well, it's kind of like the stock market. When people got their stimmy checks and everybody was flooding into the Robinhood stocks, or they were going into cryptocurrencies and all this money was sloshing around, the stimmy checks were going out, all these checks were finding their way into Robinhood accounts and running stocks up. Everybody thinks they're a genius. Buy more. There were people that went out there and took home equity loans to buy more crypto, to buy more GameStop stock. And that is this concept of malinvestment. And this is it's coming home to roost. So if you hear people talking about where the housing market is going, and there's certainly people out there that always want to put a rosy spin on where the housing market is, and you hear things like, well, we all need somewhere to live. When you think about the fact that interest rates have doubled, the 10-year bond, which is where mortgage rates are based, has now broken through 3.5%. It has gone up by 0.5% in just the past couple of weeks as I've been watching this. There's a concept called TINA. And TINA stands for There Is No Alternative. This is what's been driving the stock market. When they keep interest rates artificially low, when you've got bonds that only pay you 1%, when you've got savings accounts that only pay you 0.5%, then for people to find some level of return, they've got to be in the stock market. There is no alternative to get some kind of returns than to put your money somewhere else, because if you park it in a bond or a CD or a savings account, you're going to get nothing. So for a while, the stock market enjoyed this TINA, which is There Is No Alternative. Now the 10-year bond's paying 3.5%. This means that corporate bonds are paying more. Now there is an alternative. Look out below when it comes to the stock market. Real incomes, home mortgage rates have doubled. Real incomes are falling. Inflation is chewing up more of people's paychecks. And now the iBuyer, places like Zillow and Open Door, they're going to have to start exiting these markets. Whew! Look out below. I got to tell you. Now, we'll see. Mississippi It was interesting to watch the 2008 financial crisis. Mississippi didn't have the huge run-up that places like Phoenix and L.A. had, and they didn't have the big crash either. But I have been astounded. The real estate frenzy in central Mississippi during this last run-up of the last couple of years was pretty astounding. We had, I believe, much more of a buyer frenzy, more of a bubble this time around than we did last time. So we'll see if we also see similar moves to the downside here that we were kind of immune from in 2008. How's retail holding up? Walmart is admitting that it has canceled, quote, billions of dollars in orders as they approach the upcoming holiday season. John David Rainey, Walmart's executive vice president and CFO, said it had cleared most summer inventory while reducing exposure to electronics, homes, and sporting goods and canceled, quote, billions of dollars in orders to realign inventories. That they are not the only one. Target has canceled more than $1.5 billion in orders. And Kohl's and Under Armour have both canceled, you got it, billions of dollars of orders. These retailers do not seem to have a whole lot of faith in us heading into the Christmas season. What do they know that we don't know? I think they're finally seeing the handwriting on the wall. Plus, it's probably harder to fund billions of dollars of orders when you actually have to pay some kind of interest on it. Now, the Biden and CNBC will tell you everything's fine. It's time to buy the dip in the stock market. I can't help myself. I may have an unhealthy obsession with Jim Cramer, but I ran across this clip this morning. Now, I think I'm going to play it every single time I see it. Jim Cramer, the stock, air quotes here in the studio, guru over at CNBC. I've played this before. I know it's a little redundant, but you got to indulge me every now and then. This is Jim Cramer. If you remember the great financial crisis of 2008, when some of the largest investment firms in the world, with histories of over 100 years, suddenly started failing, and we were within hours of the entire credit market seizing up. Jim Cramer was asked about Bear Stearns on his Mad Money show, Bear Stearns that went notoriously bankrupt basically overnight. It took a few days for the stock to really get all the way down to zero. But when the stock had come down significantly, and I think it was trading at around $62 a share, before heading to zero, Jim Cramer was asked, well, Bear Stearns has been taking a hit. Should I get my money out of Bear Stearns? Guess what his answer was?
Hey, great job. All right, anyway. Okay, Peter writes, should I be worried about Bear Stearns in terms of liquidity and get my money out of there? No, no, no.
No.
Bear Stearns is fine. Do not take your money out. This is really, look, if there's one takeaway other than a plus 400 or something, Bear Stearns is not in trouble. I mean, if anything, they're more likely to be taken over. Don't move your money from Bear. That's just being silly. Don't be silly. Man, money's back after the break.
God. And this guy still has a job and 2 million followers. Holy cow. It is just too much, too much. All right. We got to take a break. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I think I saw a chart this morning of the two-year note. You got to take a look at that. The commentator, a guy named Sven Henrik, goes by Northman Trader. He tweeted out this chart. I think it was of the two-year. And his only comment on it was, LOL. You should see this thing. If you want to know that things are not normal right now financially, despite the booming recovery we have, according to the Biden White House, and the soft landing promised by the chairman of the Federal Reserve and Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary, former head of the Federal Reserve. Despite all that, things are not normal. The 10-year rate is now almost up at 3.6%. But I did want to just comment. I just thought this was interesting. Bitcoin is now down. It's broken through 19,000. It's headed down. It had popped back up. 20,000 line is what everybody's been kind of watching on crypto. It's now down to 18,900 right now. I did hear somebody, a pretty smart guy, I have no idea if this is true. Nobody has a crystal ball. The crypto markets are weird to me. And I've told you yesterday, the government's coming after crypto. Ultimately, it's going to have to come after Bitcoin and the rest of them. But anyway, through regulation and maybe just flat out outlawing it. If they outlawed gold, during the Depression, do you think they're going to allow you to somehow escape the monetary system, avert the banks, take your money out of the banks and put it out into the internet for yourself? You think they're going to let you do that? Are you serious? Now, I cheer for Bitcoin. I'm not a hater. I'm a realist when it comes to this. People say, well, yeah, but they can't stop you. I know. But look, we live in a society that there are people still wearing masks because the government can terrorize them and convince them to do the most bizarre things out of fear. How many of you out there are happy about paying your taxes every April 15th, but you do because you're scared of the government? I don't know how many people are going to hang on to their bitcoins when the government says it's now a felony. And I played the clips for you, or told you the story yesterday. The Department of, air quotes here in the studio, Justice, has set up a federal task force of prosecutors focused in on crypto crime. They're trying to figure out, okay, how do we find out everybody who's got cryptos? They're coming after this stuff. Anyway, this really smart person was talking about the crypto market, and they said they are a buyer of Bitcoin at $3,500. I'm just saying, that's not investment advice from me, but I think it's something very interesting. It stuck with me. I'm going to watch and see if maybe that is the... Right now, it's at $18,921. He's saying he's going to buy it at $3,500. I can't remember who that was. This was an interesting, this is a quote of the day. Because boy, this is a fellow traveler with me. His name is Jason Bessler. Jason Bessler. He tweeted this out. It blows my mind the so-called, quote, royal family, unquote, can live off working class taxes for thousands of years, including the most ruthless and despicable of them all, the inheritance tax, which they don't have to pay, and people still line the streets to pay their respects. That's, man, right on. I swear that is so mystifying to me. Absolutely mystifying to me. It is like celebrating the passing of a parasite that's invaded your body. My apologies to people of England who you're raised that way. We've got propaganda here. People would say during the Obama administration, I think this is lost a little bit, but I mean, I would listen to people say, well, you know, I disagree with Barack Obama, but I respect the office. And I just think to myself, why? Why do you respect the office of the presidency? That's like saying, well, look, you know, the mafia does some bad things, but you got to respect the Don. I respect the Don. I mean, those drug cartels down in Mexico, oh, yeah, they do some nasty things. But you got to respect El Jefe. I mean, he's a cheat. I mean, seriously. Anyway, I wanted to get into some of this COVID stuff. Boy, have I got a clip for you. Hold on a second. We're going to get to it in a minute. Mark Olshanisky with the Brownstone Institute. Brownstone Institute is something you should read. They are really putting out some great pieces. Mark writes, all of the empirical data have corroborated what was known on day one of the lockdowns, namely that this virus threatens almost no one but the very old and infirm, that none of these intervention works, and that each of these have caused and will continue to cause widespread, terrible, secondary and tertiary damage. Instead of admitting this, governments and media persist in their campaign of terror, lies, and bogus zero COVID measures, because to stop lying now would be to admit that it's all been a delusion. And politically and morally, they can't bring themselves to do that. A 5-year-old might not know a scam when they see it, but even a 10-year-old does, or at least should. They're counting on adults to be like 5-year-olds, and he concludes with saying, it might work. I got up this morning and was going to tune into the Clay Edwards Show on the TuneIn app this morning as I was getting my coffee ready. And so when you turn on TuneIn, many times you will get an ad that plays before the show starts, before it cuts to the live feed of WYAB. If you're out of radio range and you're looking for a way to access WYAB, check out the TuneIn app. It does come in loud and clear there, so it's a good thing. But they had a commercial this morning that really kind of hit me. And it was, I believe, the Greenwood or Greenville mayor hawking the vaccines. And it was very interesting. I tried to find it, but what was most interesting to about it to me was at the end of it, there was a disclaimer. It sounded like a pharmaceutical company disclaimer. It's like, you know, this ad was paid for by this group who's sponsored by the CDC and the NIH and the WHO, but the CDC does not, I guess they give them some latitude with the spot. So they said, we can't endorse or, you know, it was very weird disqualifier. It took about 20 seconds. But this was one of the mayors in Mississippi, still to this day, telling the people, the citizens of his area, and through this commercial, anybody who's listening to the TuneIn app, how important it is to get out there and get some more of your boosters. I couldn't find that clip, but I did find this. I'm setting something up here. I'm setting up my clip of the new thing they've discovered during this large human trial when it comes to these COVID shots. I ran across this clip. This is old. This is from last year, but this was about Mississippi Gulf Coast mayors getting together to tell everybody to get out there and get that jab.
Slowly rising, our local mayors spent today shooting a promotional video with a purpose and a call to action. Bill Snyder was there as these area leaders worked to inform the public about how we can all beat this global pandemic.
Battling COVID is everyone's fight here in South Mississippi.
And now several coast mayors are taking that fight to the airwaves.
We're in the middle of a serious pandemic.
Gulfport Mayor Billy Hughes and other lead city officials got mic'd up and in front of our WLOX marketing camera to reach the masses for a promotional video about COVID and how we can all stem the rising pandemic tide.
It's about awareness. And look, there's enough information that for people to be able to make the right decision and a good decision on this. And we have results as well.
Please.
So that was Mayor Billy Hughes. I don't know any of these people. Don't know if they're Republican or Democrat. Don't really care. These are mayors that come out and he says, look, we've got all the information for you to go out there and make a good decision and get this shot. Trust me, I'm about to give you some information in a second that Billy Hughes probably didn't know at the time. And of course, we can't really blame him. There's been no long-term testing on these shots, yet he felt very confident with his other South Mississippi mayors to go out there and tell you to rush out and get this shot.
Do all you can today.
Everyone needs to try to do something, and this is a little something as the leader of Pascagoula that I can do to help promote COVID vaccines.
This is Mayor Jay Willis.
Because that is the answer to this pandemic. There's no question about it.
At the beginning of Wednesday.
There's no question. Everybody within the sound of his voice, I think this was probably age 12 and up at the time. They hadn't preyed upon our toddlers yet. But these mayors lining up. It's the only choice. It's the only way we're going to beat this pandemic.
Day, more than 2.4 million Mississippians had gotten at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, with 1.1 million Mississippians getting both doses. In fact, in the last week, more than 80,000 Mississippians heard that call to action and went and got their COVID-19 shot.
We're seeing more and more people who did not take the vaccine that all of a sudden now are having regrets and deciding to go ahead and take it, which is wonderful.
That's very interesting to me that now they're having regrets. Let me guess, the regret was they got COVID? Well, now we've learned, you know, through months of human trials done live time on 200 million Americans, we're finding out that the vaccine actually destroys your natural immunity. So if someone has a regret, I didn't get the shot, and then I got COVID, so they had natural immunity. What they did was they went in and got a shot that destroyed that natural immunity. Thanks, Gulfport mayors. I think I'm done with this clip. But this is I wanted to illustrate this point that all of these leaders who went out, and they were, and it's interesting, they did say this was the WLOX marketing people set up their cameras. So I'd imagine there's some money sloshing around in this. You know, we know there were billions of dollars sent out to influencers and the media. Sean Hannity was out there pumping up the shot. He didn't tell you that Fox was getting paid for it, and probably he singularly was getting paid to recommend the shots. He didn't tell you that. But Sean Hannity, he's a great American, right? He's a thug. But anyway, it's just interesting. WLOX, they said they sent their marketing team out. This wasn't a news story. This was a marketing effort to get everybody to go out there and take these shots. Wait till I come back. They've discovered a new side effect. It's just started popping up. I got to tell you, this one's scary as hell. We'll do it when we come back. Stick around. All right, so I start off my day today with the Greenville, I think it was Greenville, Greenwood, somewhere up in the Delta, mayor telling everybody that the vaccine, he used the term, they are safe and effective, and it's time for everybody to get out there. Get your boosters, make sure you're up to date. I just played a clip of all the South Mississippi mayors out there telling you, it's the only way out of this pandemic, they say. They say, if you have the right information, then it's a no-brainer to go out there and make sure you get this shot. Everyone needs to do their part, and they say about 80,000 people, after they put out their message, went up there and rolled up their sleeves because these mayors said they have the information. Don't be a dummy. We know this thing is safe and effective. While little WIAB, alone in the media landscape, was saying, they've done no testing on these things. Are you paying attention to the VAERS numbers? Now, I never came on here and told you exactly what was going to happen, but I know you usually test vaccines for 7 to 12 years. And you can't study them for 3 months and say, coast is clear, run out and get it. Check out this clip. You know, I just wonder if any of these mayors, health authorities, Sean Hannity, I wonder if any of them are going to come to any kind of epiphany within themselves, an awakening to themselves, to the damage that they have done. Check this out.
Well, tonight's Health Spotlight, emerging new research shows a growing number of transplant recipients are suddenly rejecting their new organ.
Scientists say the COVID vaccine could be to blame. Joining us now to explain is Swiss TV's medical reporter, Dr. Mary Gillis. Mary.
Alexis, Phil, according to a new study published in the Journal of Clinical Medicine, acute corneal allografts are being rejected by immunized patients who've undergone the procedure. Researchers say the underlying cause could be tied to a systematic inflammatory response elicited by the shot. The cornea is the outermost layer of your eye. Corneal grafts are used to restore vision, reduce eye pain, and improve the appearance of a damaged cornea. The surgery is known to be one of the most successful transplant procedures with low rejection rates. Japanese researchers compiled data from 23 studies, a total of 23 eyes from 21 patients who had undergone corneal graft procedures were assessed. Graft rejection occurred anywhere from 1 day to 6 weeks after vaccination in all patients, some who underwent the procedure as far back as 20 years ago.
Do you hear that? If you had a corneal transplant 20 years ago and been living with your great new eye, everything went great. You had a corneal transplant. What amazing science, huh? And you got 20 years of your vision back, and then you went and got the shot that the mayors told you to go get 20 years later. And between 1 day and 6 weeks, I guess your eye just pops off. It starts to reject that transplant that you've been living successfully with for 20 years.
In the paper, study authors write, as the virus continues to spread, additional booster COVID-19 vaccines are expected. Therefore, proper follow-up of corneal allograft recipients and interventions to prevent corneal allograft rejection after they receive the COVID-19 vaccine may be crucial. Among the list of emerging complications linked to the vaccine are blood clots, heart inflammation, and Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Huh. Safe and effective. Remember, always safe and effective. After 20 years of a successful transplant, you get a shot and suddenly you lose your vision from something that was successful 20 years ago. this was just an interesting story. One of the warnings that scientists were giving out prior to these shots that we talked a lot here on the station, I know I certainly did, was this antibody-dependent enhancement, meaning that these shots may impair your ability to fight off other infections, not just COVID. We're finding out that these things actually make you more likely to get COVID, more likely to be hospitalized with COVID, and more likely to die with COVID if you've gotten the shots. But there was this thing called antibody-dependent enhancement meant that your risk of getting other diseases was heightened, too. These scientists just kind of theorized this. I just wonder if they were right, based on this story yesterday on the Associated Press. Sharply rising cases of some sexually transmitted diseases, including a 26% rise in new syphilis infections reported last year, are prompting U.S. health officials to call for new prevention and treatment efforts. Infection rates for some STDs, including gonorrhea and syphilis, have been rising for years. Last year, the rate of syphilis cases reached its highest since 1991, and the total number of cases hit its highest since 1948. HIV cases are also on the rise, up 16% last year. I'm just saying. Kind of feels like these stories are piling up one on top of another of all of these diseases that are rapidly rising suddenly. So maybe these guys that were pointing to this antibody-dependent enhancement weren't off the mark. Of course, there's nothing in this AP story that mentions that at all. Believe me, it's just a mystery. I guess we're just more promiscuous with dirtier people these days. That can only be the only explanation. Shame on all of you people who recommended this shot for the mass population. I'll be right back. Right, I am back. This is Mike Madison here at the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Later on in the hour, we'll get into some Tech Tuesday news. I'm always curious where people's red lines are. There's news coming out about several of the more popular social media platforms out there. I'm just wondering, conservatives, have you had enough yet? I guess the beatings will continue until morale improves. I do not know what is going on. I had I guess you could call it a social media account hacked. I'll talk a little bit about that as well. I actually think it's a tad bit funny. I think it's my first hacking that I've been aware of anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I was perusing the economic headlines, as I am wont to do many times. I thought this is an interesting headline. You're familiar with Beyond Meat. This is this is the future that they have planned for us, which is these factory, highly processed. You think it's meat, but it's really just, right now I think it's vegetables. Soon it's going to be crickets and mealworms. They're going to try to sell you for meat in this war on meat, which they're losing, by the way. The demand for beef is through the roof right now. Very, very interesting stuff. But Beyond Meat is one of these companies that is leading the charge towards meatless meat, which is a disaster. And I can't remember if it's Beyond Meat or Impossible Burger. I need to set this in my mind so I'm always accurate. One of them is just chock-a-block full of GMOs, which is basically just a Roundup burger. You're just eating a herbicide-laced burger. Terrible for your gut. Not a healthy option for anybody out there. Meat is fine for you. More on that tomorrow. But so Beyond Meat is this company that's all against eating animals. I just thought this was an interesting headline. Beyond Meat executive accused of biting man's nose outside of a football game. That seems like a violation of what I would imagine is his vegan code right there, to be biting another human being. There's also a headline here. Time to buy home builder stock, says early pain signals equals early gain, analyst says. Now, I did a clip or a story last week where when FedEx came out and announced, I mean, the CEO of FedEx pretty much came out and went, it's looking pretty rough out there. We're going to jerk all of our guidance where we thought we might make money next quarter. We have no earthly idea. It's not looking good. And we had a bunch of stock analysts from the big banks and investment houses come out and downgrade the stock after it had fallen 21%. Now, if I'm an investor and I'm getting investment advice, I'd like them to tell me to get out of a stock before it goes down 21%, but that's not the way Wall Street works. It's kind of like the Jim Cramer model. I tell everybody everything's fine, and then when it goes through the floor, you go, we're urging some caution on that thing you just lost a ton of money on. So this is an analyst here that tells you it's time to buy home builder stocks. Early pain equals early gain. There is something to be said for buying stocks when there is blood in the streets. This is kind of a phrase they use. It means when everybody is completely given up and completely pessimistic, this is the time to buy stocks. I remember, to my great shame, during the financial crisis, I remember seeing Office Depot. Their stock had gone down to something like $2 a share. I think it had come down from maybe 38 or something. It was at $2 a share. And I was thinking to myself, self, people are still going to be buying paper and computers. I mean, this isn't wiping out the whole economy. And Office Depot is like the Mac Daddy of office supplies for people. And I thought about buying it, and I didn't. But that was a good example of when just everybody had given up on everything. They're throwing out the baby out with the bathwater. It's time to buy. For home builders, though, this analyst says early pain equals early gain. This ain't even early pain. Trust me. There's a headline right underneath this that said home builders say, quote, housing recession shows no sign of abating. There's a lot more room for housing to go down. This early pain is just that. It's just the early pain. This is kind of the signal that things aren't going well. We ain't seen nothing yet. When mortgage rates hit 7, 8, 9, 10%, that might be a time when the home builders are really struggling because nobody can afford a house. Now, if you're buying multifamilies, this is another one of these things. It's almost, you know, the Great Reset. It's almost like they have a plan for us. As single-family homes have been bought up by huge corporations like Open Door, we talked about last hour. Blackstone is out there buying up huge swaths of residential real estate. It almost feels like they're moving us towards just renting apartments and not owning anything. It's going according to plan. Multifamily starts are, I think, accelerating. So the builders are smartly, they're saying, oh, yeah, no one's going to be able to afford a house for quite a while. We better start building rental units. And that's kind of what they're doing. So I would not listen to this analyst who says buy home builder stocks. I believe the pain is just beginning. The blood is not in the streets yet. It's maybe a slight nosebleed, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. I wanted to play this clip almost as a public service announcement. I know there's still people out there. And I'm trying to kind of create something here. Unfortunately, I don't want to focus in on these shots every single day. There's so much else going on that's interesting and infuriating and all those are the good things. But there are a lot of people out there who think to themselves, I got the first two shots and nothing happened to me. So I played the story or talked about it yesterday, the woman who had had her shots and then she went and got a booster and she was dead 15 minutes later. Every shot is a shot of Russian roulette. And many people survive Russian roulette. Many people may have no consequences. They may get the whole round of shots, and maybe they won't suffer any consequences. I don't know what the mechanism is. Maybe it's certain genetics aren't good with this thing. Maybe it's bad batches. I don't know what it is. I know plenty of people who have gotten these shots. They seem to be absolutely fine, but they keep trying to force boosters on you. And I believe every one of these boosters is just you taking an absolutely unnecessary risk. This was just, so I'm going to do this as a public service announcement, because one of the guys on the FDA advisory committee is coming out and talking about these new up-to-date boosters. You know, they're referring to us now as software. You need to get your update. Got to get your update. Make sure you're updated. Did you get the latest update? Did you get the latest release? Did you get the 5 yet? Did you get the 5? BA5, BA6. They got to get you updated. So this was actually done as a news story. I can't decide. This is an NBC affiliate. Where is this? I don't know if I can see a city here. I don't know. This might be somewhere around Philadelphia. They're going to interview a guy at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. His name is Paul Offit, and he is on the FDA Advisory Committee. Don't listen to Mike Madison. He's no doctor. He tells us that every Wednesday. Well, when it comes to these boosters, Paul Offit on the FDA Advisory Committee had some interesting things to say. I think it's worth playing this entire clip.
COVID boosters. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tracy Davidson.
And I'm Rosemary Connors. While many have been anxiously awaiting the new boosters from Pfizer and Moderna.
I just always forget that these people are out there. Yesterday, I played the clip of Joe Biden declared the pandemic was over. And what the news reporters couched as, in what will be music to people's ears, to some people's ears. I'm just wondering, I guess the some people they're talking to about all these things, the people that are anxiously awaiting these newest boosters, I guess these are the people walking around in the masks. I mean, I guess I need to start interviewing some of these people, but I got to tell you, it's difficult to really talk to these people. But anyway, I guess somebody out there is anxiously awaiting these boosters.
There's debate about how they'll hold up against the subvariants the shots are designed to target. Today, I spoke with Dr. Paul Offit, a vaccine expert from CHOP, who also helps to advise the FDA. He tells me what many may not realize is that right now, the only information about these specific shots is from studies in mice.
People who listen to this show know that. And to be very specific, in the case of Pfizer, it's 8 mice. They couldn't even be bothered to do a baker's dozen of Mises. 8 Mises is what Pfizer used. To Moderna's great credit, they used somewhere between 16 and 20 Mises to test this thing on.
It's not only that we don't have clinical data, seeing whether it works, which makes sense because, you know, we're doing this on the fly. We don't have immune data in people.
Nearly 2.5 years into this pandemic, and new vaccine boosters appear to be on the horizon. The latest from Pfizer and Moderna would target the BA4 and dominant BA5 Omicron subvariants. But Dr. Paul Offit, a renowned vaccine expert at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who is also on the FDA's 21-member vaccine advisory committee, is telling people who may want the shot to wait until there's more information from the drug companies.
Right now, they're saying that we should trust mouse data, and I don't think that should ever be true. I don't think you should ever ask tens of billions of people to get a vaccine based on mouse data.
Doesn't this sound like what an average physician should say to their patient who comes to their clinic to get one of these shots? Doesn't it seem like the newly graduated medical doctor coming out of UMC or the Caribbean, I don't care where they got their medical degree, doesn't it seem like most doctors should go, yeah, you might want to wait until we've got data on more than 8 Mises? That seems like the baseline of medical advice you should expect from your general practitioner. But oh no, the 8 mice are just fine for the medical establishment. That's more than enough. Really, Mike, I think they overdid it. I think 3 mice. You know, they could have just tested the thing on 3 mice, but they went the extra yard and got 8 mice.
Dr. Offit explains mice and other animals are typically the first to be tested in preclinical trials whenever a new vaccine is made.
And that tells you whether or not something is at least immunogenic, that it can induce an immune response that you think might be protective. And it also tells you whether or not you have an obvious safety problem. And then you slowly go into people, so-called phase 1 trials.
And there's no public data on that yet. What's more, for these fall booster shots, the FDA is not consulting with Dr. Offit and the rest of the Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee.
That's weird, isn't it? Well, he'll explain to you why they're not consulting with the FDA Advisory Committee on these new shots.
The reason to consult us is because when you do that, when you consult us, that's open to the public. So we'll get then all the data from the two companies, which then is available to the public. By not doing that, by simply saying we don't need that advice, what they're also saying is we're not going to be transparent about what we have to the American public. And I just think that's not fair.
Keep in mind, this is just one opinion. Others on the FDA advisory committee may have different views, especially considering that time is of the essence in this pandemic to protect people. Also, everyone has unique health circumstances, so patients should choose what's right for them. And while the FDA may end up authorizing these shots, remember, it's up to the CDC to decide whether to recommend the use for different age groups or not.
I wonder what the CDC will do. Boy, that's a real cliffhanger, isn't it? Will the CDC recommend that great, the world's leading vaccine sales organization, the CDC? Golly gee willikers, I wonder if they'll recommend. Now, she says time is of the essence. Exactly why is that? Are people dropping dead of COVID? Or do we have an emergency situation going on right now that I'm unaware of? I look at the numbers. Even the brain-addled Joe Biden has said this pandemic is over. So why exactly is time of the essence when it comes to these things? And again, if you've just tuned in, find my podcast. If you have a corneal transplant, if you got yourself a brand-new spanking cornea anytime soon, You might want to listen to that story about the fact they've realized, strangely enough, people who have gotten the shot are rejecting their transplants. I would imagine that'll be the first of many stories about such a thing. Anyway, that's Paul Offit. He's on the FDA Advisory Committee. He is not satisfied with the testing on just eight little nieces. Be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
All right, next segment, we'll start getting into a little bit of tech news. That's some interesting stuff. I'd like to know if the conservatives out there have got a red line against any of these social media companies, because it feels to me like they're dancing all over it. And conservatives are still corralled themselves with Stockholm Syndrome onto these social media platforms. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. And I got hacked. Kind of a funny story there. But before I do that, I'm going to do a drive-by hit on the Republican Party. Look, this is the worst government we've ever had. I believe. Now, it's always chronically criminal and corrupt, but now it's just bumbling its way into absolute catastrophe at record pace. By far and away, the worst president we've ever had. Just the worst cabinet ministers we've had. But this, the whole thing is an absolute train wreck, and I am praying for a red wave. I understand, though, that doesn't solve anything. We still got a huge problem here, and the Republican Party is not going to fix the big issues. But I'm with everybody else. We need, as Joe Biden says, a little breathing room. just a little bit of breathing room from the insanity and the horrific policies of the Democratic Party. So do not misunderstand me. This is a very nuanced view for many people. Most people believe that if you oppose one side, you must embrace the other side. Embrace the tribe. Join the fight. There are things that are not said on conservative radio. Criticisms of the Republican Party that I think are warranted. And so I have this ability as somebody outside of the two-party system to make these observations. So I hope they're of some value. But a listener had sent me basically it was a message from the GOP about the scam of the student loans. And boy, are they right. It is just a huge scam. No argument there. It's absolutely horrific. This was sent out by the Senate Conservatives Fund. Always remember, if you see any emails from something called a fund, you know it is just pandering for cash. It is emailing for dollars. So they talk about this, but I wanted to get into the meat of this thing here. They talk about, you know, open borders aren't about compassion. They're about low wages for busboys and landscapers. Of course, the Republican Party has sat by and allowed these mega corporations to exploit cheap labor for as long as the Chamber of Commerce told them to do so. I'm just saying. But there's several points in here that they make that the Republicans are right on. But this campaign message, you know, you got to hit a hot point with somebody, something somebody's angry about right now, and they say, but nothing tops this student loan heist. This is from the Senate Conservatives Fund email. It says, Joe Biden is stealing $500 billion from people who didn't go to college, who paid off their loans, who skimped and saved to afford their own educations, and handing it over to the reporters, activists, and woke professors who couldn't be bothered. Now, this is a bit of pandering here. They're exactly right. This is a heist. They are stealing money from people who do not have to, you should not be obligated to help pay for somebody else's education. But there's going to be a lot of business majors out there that are going to get this student debt relief. There's going to be a lot of chemistry majors. You know, the idea of couching it in that we're just paying for the reporters, activists, and woke professors. Well, no, this doesn't make any distinctions there. You're going to be paying for the frat boy up at Ole Miss to get his business degree as well. So this is, you know, it's pandering, but, you know, I guess this is politics. You've got to stir the emotions and make sure that you identify the enemy. Then they go on to say, there is no, quote, student loan crisis, unquote. That's another lie. This is what the Republican Party says. This bailout is nothing more than a transfer of wealth from the working people who built this country to the woke elites trying to tear it down. Now, again, this money is going to go to the college cheerleader at Southern Miss, the same way it's going to go to some liberal journalism major from some major university. So, again, this is a bit of pandering. It bounces off me like bullets off of Superman. But anyway, there is a student loan crisis. When you saddle generations that are poised to enter the working world with $1.7 trillion of student loan debt that was created by anyone, the federal government that these Senate conservatives are involved in, they've been in charge many, many times, never dismantled this thing. There is a student loan crisis. Now, everybody makes a voluntary agreement to borrow the money to go to school. They should be obligated to pay that money back. It should not be put on the backs of the taxpayers. Again, I want to make sure people understand this is a weird approach in conservative radio to point out, you know, that actually there is a student loan crisis. It's not a lie when you have forced young generations to absorb massive amounts of debt because your organization, Senate Republicans, your organization, the federal government, jacked up the cost of college. And, of course, the Democrats led the charge on federally funded student loans. Make no mistake. But Republicans have had run of the House. They had it from 2017 and 2018. They did nothing about it. So anyway, and so it you know, this goes on to say, corrupt boondoggles like this will continue as long as President Biden has a Democrat House and Senate supporting his illegal tactics. We can change that, and that's why SCF, that's the Senate Conservatives Fund, endorsed candidate is committed to restoring the rule of law and investigating all the Biden administration's abuses of power. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath into a real investigation and somebody held accountable. You've noticed one of the financial headlines was it said on MarketWatch, it said, Jamie Dimon and other, he's the CEO of J.P. Morgan, said Jamie Dimon and other CEOs go for their annual congressional grilling, to which I just kind of snicker, because most of the Congress critters work for Wall Street. Now, the Democrats will put on their show to try to get some sound bites, to try to trick their supporters into believing they're fighting the power. They're all at the trough of Wall Street money. Pardon me if I'm not going to hold my breath that the Republicans are going to do some meaningful investigation that's going to actually yield some arrests. When was the last time that happened? Exactly. so this is them pandering for money. The thing that I say it needs to be said is never said on conservative radio is this student loan thing is a scam. It's horrible. Horrible to step inside of this contract between a student and a lending institution, the federal government, and say, hey, we're going to take all the taxpayers are going to pony up that first 10 grand for you. It is horrific. It's terrible. It should not be allowed to stand, but it's not new. It's not new. When you look at Obamacare, which Republicans campaigned for several election cycles on repealing, you know, this $10,000 to students, it's a one-time deal. As horrific as that is, it's a one-time deal, $10,000. And it could be $500 billion, $500 billion, maybe more. But every single year, taxpayers are asked to subsidize health insurance through Obamacare. Republicans never did anything about that. Republicans actually passed, and I know I'm repeating myself here a little bit, but Republicans are the ones that were behind Medicare Part D every single year now for almost 20 years, 18 years, something like that. Every single year for 18 years, taxpayers, young people, people like myself who try to maintain a good, healthy lifestyle so that I don't need medications, are forced to fund the prescription cost of senior citizens in this country. Many senior citizens who smoked and drank too much, who ate crap food, and now they're very unhealthy, and we're having to use all these medical interventions to keep them alive, all of these different drugs, and the Republicans passed a plan to where the taxpayer will absorb the cost of senior citizens' drugs. How quickly do you think a senior citizen's drugs surpass $10,000, which is what the student loan thing is? I would say pretty darn quickly. And this is every single year. Republicans passing the largest entitlement since Lyndon Baines Johnson back in the 1960s when they passed Medicare Part D. So I just want to flesh out some of these things. Now, some of the people they're raising money for, these Senate conservatives, one of them is Rand Paul, one of them is Ron Johnson, one of them is Mike Lee. Ron Johnson's terrible on some things, but he's been a pit bull on these vaccines. But Mike Lee and Rand Paul are a couple of good senators. Nothing against them. They're more liberty-leaning people. I can tolerate them a little bit better than most of the rest of them. Herschel Walker's on this list, too. They want you to donate $25, $50, $100, $250. Or you can fill in your own amount for Herschel Walker and the rest of these candidates. And I want to see this red wave. I just think it bears repeating that if you do return the Senate to the Republicans, if you return the House to the Senate to the Republicans, if there is a red wave this fall, understand that the average taxpayer at the hands of Republicans, just as much as Democrats, you will be forced to pick up the tab far in excess of $10,000 for a myriad of services that you pay for that you do not receive for people other than you. Does that make sense? The Republicans will dole out your money. Matter of they can't hand it to Raytheon fast enough. They can't send it to Ukraine fast enough. So let's just flesh it out just a little bit. Let's be kind of fair. The student loan thing by Joe Biden seems to be completely unconstitutional, is an absolute abject scam and robbery of the American citizens. But so is a large part of what the Republicans do. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You can reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com. That's about the extent. I don't do social media for reasons we're about to discuss. But if you want to reach me, you can email me there. I've got a couple of tech stories that I think are worth perusing, particularly in my fatwa against social media here as I stand on my unplugged island all alone. I was hacked when it comes to technology. I thought this was kind of a funny story. I when I got divorced many years ago, I set up some dating sites. I'll admit, when I was married, I wasn't looking for anybody else. I was very happy in my marriage and everything, but I was always interested in computer dating. As a matter of fact, one of my fraternity brothers started one of the companies over in Dallas that was purchased for a lot of money by Match.com. He made a lot of money. Anyway, I was always kind of fascinated by that. I thought it was kind of interesting. So when I got divorced, I got on online dating platforms. Pretty much a swing and a miss for me. I found old school to be much more preferable. People that I would meet in real life or people that I knew who found themselves single at the same time in life as I did. But anyway, I did set up a couple of social media dating site profiles. And one was on this operation called OkCupid, and at the time it was free. Never did anything with it, never was on it, and it's just funny. I think I've removed my profile, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. It keeps popping up. I keep getting emails. You're about to be deactivated, to which I say, didn't I deactivate myself a while back? I guess you can never actually kill an online dating profile. Anyway, this thing has been floating out there. It's always funny. There's been no activity. You're about to be suspended. Just let that go. Okay, fine. I didn't even think I was on there, whatever. And then all of a sudden I get, hey, somebody likes you. A couple of weeks ago, I was blowing up. Everybody liked me. I don't know what it was about me. You know, no new pictures or anything. Maybe that's the issue. I was several years younger in any pictures I might have put on there. But somebody had hacked my OkCupid profile. So I started clicking on these women who were expressing such interest in Mike Madison. And they were all in their late 60s. No offense, ladies. But they were responding to, obviously, things I had messaged them, and I had absolutely no idea what it was. So somebody hacked my OkCupid profile. I've tried to take it down. I'm still getting messages from them. I hate to break so many hearts out there, but that's not me. It is not me. I don't know who in the world is out there. So I don't know. We may see this on Dateline in the end. A real quick tech story I wanted to cover. We've talked about this a little bit, and we just recently saw in Colorado where they had a heat wave, and about 22,000 people had signed up for some of these smart home, smart thermometers, and they were feeling a little toasty in their home, and they tried to make changes to their thermometers. No go. They wouldn't allow them. The company that sold these things, in order to observe power restrictions, stopped people from changing the thermostats in their own homes. That seems especially creepy, but this thing is coming, and this is how they get you right here.
On the Consumer Watch tonight, Appalachian Power said there's still time to enroll in a program that promises a one-time $50 gift card.
Yeah, what's always interesting to me is the low barrier, the small amounts of money that people will trade their freedom for. Last couple of years, it was, what, $1,200, $600, $1,800, whatever. I never got any of my STEMI checks. People will just for a few, but $50? $50, people will give up control of their homes.
The utility calls it the Take Charge program.
Take Charge. What they actually mean is, we're going to take charge.
It runs every year from the start of May to the end of September. By enrolling, you essentially are giving control of your thermostat to Appalachian Power. The company says it would make small and brief adjustments, especially during the peak electric demand period.
Small. Tiny little adjustments. Nothing to even worry about. Take the $50. It's 50 bucks. We promise. Just tiny little alterations.
Once you enroll, you get a $50 gift card. Again, Woo! That's a one-time deal. And you can then get an additional $25 gift card per central unit for every year you're enrolled.
Oh, wow.
That's $5 per month, May through September. If you're interested in this, we've got a link on WJHL.com where you can enroll.
Yeah. May through September, they're going to give you $5 to stew in your own juices in your own home. It is amazing to me what people, you know, and this is what it is, I'm telling you. This is when they really capitalize. When they've got people really weak, inflation's biting at people, oh, they'll throw out a few bucks here or there to get you to give up more of your liberties. And so many people are going to be so desperate. This is in Appalachia, not known for its prosperity in that neck of the woods. $50 probably goes a long way to people, so... $50, give up control of your thermostats. This will come here. If anybody knows of anything locally where they are offering these kinds of incentives to hand over control of your central heat and air, please let me know, Mike Madison, WYAB.com. When I come back, we're going to take a look at social media, and I want to know, are there any red lines in the conservative mind when it comes to social media where you say enough is enough? Because I got a couple of them that seems like maybe enough has already been enough. Be right back. All right, final segment for the day. This is a little bit of Tech Tuesday. As everybody knows, if you listen to this show for any period of time, I always wonder, I'm trying to get inside the conservative mind. I don't understand it. And particularly when it comes to social media and the abuse conservatives suffer from these companies while they enrich the CEOs. Complain about the power and the size and the monopoly these places have on information, yet flock to those very same platforms. It's strange to me. I know I'm a weirdo. I ask a lot of, what would you not pay for? You know, when would you, not support a federal government if they study the, is a foreign aid to Ukraine? Is it paying pharmaceutical companies for the clot shots? Is it $600,000 to study the mating rituals of the Botswanan fruit fly? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any red lines in the conservative side of things. I'm just curious if there's any that exist. When it comes to social media, I've made this point before, but a new story is out about some social media companies. One is TikTok has come out and said that, yeah, they will not stop providing the Chinese communist government information on its users, data on its users. Yet conservatives flock to this. I see story after story. TikTok is complicit with the CCP. And they actually will run stories about that on TikTok. TikTok, I would imagine, somehow monetizes eyeballs. And so people willingly hand over. Most of probably the videos that I get from conservatives are on TikTok. As they, on the other side, complain about their situation with the CCP. Twitter is censoring conservatives as they flock to Twitter. Now, I get some information off of Twitter, too. I don't think I've ever posted on Twitter. I'll look at it, but, it just seems like if you're the ones being censored, maybe you leave. I've made this comparison, too. You go to a restaurant and they spit in your food every time you go. Yet you keep going back to that restaurant that spits into your food, but when you leave... All you can talk about for the next week is how they spit in your food every time. Well, where are you going Friday night? Well, I'm going back there because that's where everybody is. But they spit in your food. I know, but, and that's the but, what it comes after the but, that's what I don't quite understand the argument. So Facebook. This is a recent story out of Facebook, and I'm just wondering if there is a conservative red line at all. According to DOJ whistleblowers, Facebook has been spying on Americans' private messages and reporting them to the FBI if they express anti-government or anti-authority statements, including questioning the legitimacy of the 2020 election. Now, this is not what you posted, right? No, we already know you're in a database for posting. The CIA creates these things to try to get you people to flush yourselves out. I'm not hiding. Obviously, I'm on public airwaves professing that this is an anti-government show. I criticize government relentlessly for 10 hours a week. But for those of you out there who think you're sending private messages, boy, this civil war, when you guys try to organize yourselves, is going to be quite interesting. They're going to wrap you up in an afternoon. So Facebook has been spying on Americans' private messages and reporting them to the FBI. As the New York Post Miranda Devine writes, quote, under the FBI collaboration operation, somebody at Facebook red flags these supposedly subversive private messages over the past 19 months and transmitted them in a redacted form to the Domestic Terrorism Operational Unit at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., without a subpoena. Quote, it was done outside the legal process and without probable cause, said one of the whistleblowers who spoke on condition of anonymity. Quote, Facebook provides the FBI with private conversations which are protected by the First Amendment without any subpoena. According to one Post source, quote, they, Facebook and the FBI, were looking for conservative right-wing individuals. None were Antifa types. The Facebook users whose private communications Facebook had red flagged as domestic terrorism for the FBI were all conservative right-wing individuals. Quote, they were gun-toting, red-blooded Americans who were angry about after the election and shooting off their mouths and talking about staging protests. There was nothing criminal, nothing about violence or massacring or assassinating anyone. Some of the targeted Americans had posted photos of themselves, quote, shooting guns together and bitching about what happened after the 2020 election. A few were members of a militia, but that was protected by the Second Amendment. Once flagged, the private messages were farmed out as, quote, leads, unquote, to FBI field offices around the country, which would then reach out to that area's U.S. Attorney's Office to legally obtain the private conversations that had already been shown. Quote, as soon as a subpoena was requested, within an hour, Facebook sent back gigabytes of data and photos. It was ready to go. They were just waiting for that legal process so they could send it. I'm just wondering if there is any red line when it comes to social media that you will not allow them to cross. And as I speak, there's all kinds of people that, oh, the gears are turning, but I've got to be on Facebook because I think I was guilty of that. You know, I'm somebody else. I've got kids. I remember I knew that these cell phones and all this stuff were not going to be good for my kids, particularly if they're just sitting there craning their neck at them. They're going to get neck problems. But we're going to have a whole generation of kids with hunchbacks because of these things. But I don't know. Well, in case they need to get in touch with me, I'm guilty of that. But when it comes to the social media stuff, I do not see the redeeming feature of it. Here was an AP story, kind of on similar lines. Local law enforcement agencies from suburban Southern California to rural North Carolina have been using an obscure cell phone tracking tool, at times without search warrants, that gives them the power to follow people's movements months back in time, according to public records and internal emails obtained by the Associated Press. Police have used, quote, fog reveal, unquote. Fog reveal. To search hundreds of billions of records from 250 million mobile devices and harness the data to create a location analysis known among law enforcement as, quote, patterns of life. This is according to thousands of pages of records about the company. Sold by Virginia-based Fog Data Science, LLC, Fog Reveal has been used since at least 2018 in criminal investigations. Oh, there it is. It's just to catch the criminals, Michael. I'm not doing anything wrong. What do I have to fear? We have what I have described many times to you as a turnkey tyranny. This is not about Facebook. This is not about the Department of Justice that has fallen out of favor with conservatives. No, this is local law enforcement. Again, that civil war you guys are chomping at the bit for, it's not going to go well. Let me just tell you, I know you got all the guns. I know you do. They know you do, too. They know right where they are. They know how many you've got because you've been posting them to social media. They know who all your friends are. Well, they might come after me. I'll hide my guns over here. Oh, no, you won't, because they know exactly where you went. And they know exactly who your friends are. And they saw your private message that you sent on Facebook Messenger, for the love of God, saying, hey, will you hold my guns? Golly. Holy cow. We've built our own digital prison here. Local law enforcement should be absolutely scolded. I don't know if it's going on in central Mississippi or not, but I would imagine, you know, there's these big orange things. You've seen these things on the side of the road. Got the big solar panel on it. And just a couple little cameras there. That is law enforcement tracking your license plate everywhere you go. And I bet you it's really great. If your car gets stolen, they may be able to type into this database and find out where your car is. Isn't that fantastic? Certainly it will only be used against car thieves and criminals, right? Only for an Amber Alert. No, you're being tracked and traced everywhere you go. Local law enforcement keeps and retains this information. I actually called local police to ask them what they did with that stuff. I was originally PD. I saw some of these things. These license plate readers in Ridgeland, I called to ask them. They did not have any really impressive answers for me. Basically no answers on what they do. Anyway, just be warned. Plot your civil war according to written words.
No,
see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.